This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, of course, it's a glorious Friday. We are cruising into a Memorial Day weekend. Put a smile on your face. We are going to be all over the map tonight because it's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're going to talk about big city urban Democrats and voting that way and why. Someone wants to talk about the why. Someone's moving from San Diego, wants to know where to go. Tariffs, somebody has a bad feeling about the coming trade war, communism versus Sharia law, all that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And a reminder again, yes, Chris, I will remind them again. The names are already flooding in, but on Monday, we will be here. We will be live here. And if you miss it, you can download a podcast of it, of course. But we will do a Memorial Day special on Monday, not our normal show. We won't be goofing off. We won't be doing politics. It will be all honoring the fallen. It's going to be a bunch of history. History, wars, battles, honoring the fallen. And if you have a name of somebody who died in service to this country, name, rank, conflict, you can email it in. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. They're already piling up. We will try to read every single name so we can honor those who gave it all for this country. And one more word on this before we get into the questions. I told you yesterday that Memorial Day is only for the fallen. I warned you about watering it down and all the veterans and firefighters. And don't do that. Don't do that. I know you're doing it out of politeness. The people who gave their lives for this country and their families left behind deserve an unwatered down day, their own sacred day. However, enjoy yourself this weekend. I will tell you this. I know people who died for this country. Every single guy I know who died for this country, I promise you, would want you to enjoy yourself this weekend. They wouldn't want you sitting around. Don't listen to anybody tell, well, it's not about hot dogs and family time. Have hot dogs. Have family time. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your long weekend. All right? All right. Now. Jesse, you often correctly say you voted for this after the population of blue cities keep electing or re-electing Democrat scumbag leadership. However, you never really dive into why. The fact of the matter is there's a significant portion of the voting population that could care less, so on and so forth. Okay, why? Why do big city Democrats continue to go reelect the worst scumbags in the world who destroy your cities? First, let's cover this. Big city Democrats, really Democrats in general, but people vote generally for the same party every time. Most voters vote for the same party every time, and I'm not just pointing fingers at the other side. If I walk into a voting booth and I don't know who to vote for or whatever, I vote for the Republican. But even if I do know who to vote for, I vote for the Republican every time. So that's that. And oftentimes it's generational. You vote for the party your family always voted for. Well, my parents always voted for Republicans, so I vote my parents. So there's that. That is extremely strong. Why do you think it is that there are so many Democrats, especially older Democrats, who are probably more moderate, blue dog types, even Southern Democrat types, you know, pro-life, but you like unions or something like that, yet they won't vote for Republicans? Well, they've been voting Democrats for their entire lives. It's hard to break that chain when that's what you've always done. You may complain about Democrats. You may not like the direction Democrats are going, but you still vote for Democrats. So that's part of it. Another huge part of it is this. Not that many people actually vote in the elections, especially local elections. And in a big city, we'll call it Philadelphia because I was trashing the Philadelphia voter for reelecting Krasner, that piece of crap Soros DA who keeps letting all the murderers out of prison. I was ranting and raving about it, but the truth is, in local elections, not many people show up. But who does? Who does show up? The most committed. The most committed Democrat in a big city, because if you're a Republican in a big city, and I know there are many listening to my voice right now in New York, in San Diego, in Seattle, in Miami, and everywhere, big city Republicans, they know they're not going to win. And look, I'll be honest with you, if I lived in Washington, D.C. still, even though I lived in Northern Virginia, but we'll call it D.C. when I lived there for a year, I don't know how often I would vote. Isn't that terrible? I mean, I think I'd probably make myself vote just because I feel obligated to do it and I would want to do it in front of my kids. But a city that's 94%, 92% Democrat or something like that, why even waste the gas to drive down to the polls? You're not winning anything. So what happens is Republicans in these big cities don't bother to show up, and it's completely understandable. And most Democrats don't bother to show up. But who does show up? The most committed communists in the city. You don't have to rally that many votes, whether it's a big city or a small town. If it is a local election, it is winnable depending on the circumstances. In fact, I want to read you this email. Got this email a few days ago. I want to read this to you. Jesse, I'm going to leave out the location because I don't know that he wants that read. Jesse, I won my primary for it's a city council or it's because you berated us to get involved. Small town, he says. You know what the turnout was for Republican voters? 30%. He writes it right here in the email. He said that makes it easy for us to win because all you have to do is knock on doors for less time than watching a football game. The people who vote are the people who care. And if you care enough to knock on doors and introduce yourself as a candidate, you win. So I went from being an anti-communist on the water board to the town council. Ask me not to name his name, and I, of course, will not. Now, that's the example in the other direction. When we think, if we're in a small area, small town, we think to ourselves, wow, city council, you know, county board of supervisors, any of these things, we think these things are unattainable. Oh, that guy who's on there, he's been there for 20 years. Yeah, he hasn't had to campaign for like 15 years because nobody shows up to vote. You can go take back these positions of power, and you should. But vice versa, in the big cities, they don't change how they vote. They'll complain and they'll yell and they're New York City. They'll elect Bill de Blasio and then they hate his guts. I hate him. I hate him. He sucks. I hate him. He's terrible. The cops hate him. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. He's up for reelection. Boop, right back into office again. Human beings have a hard time changing their bad habits. We all do. I do. But big city Democrats, they really, truly vote for their own demise. And then, of course, you have the ghetto areas of the big city. And they're always, always enlisted like an army. Oftentimes, they cheat, by the way, using these areas. If you go into like Harlem in New York City would be a wonderful example of this, even though it's getting better. But either way, Harlem would be a wonderful example of this. The black population of Harlem,
the Democrats just prey on these people because they don't really give a crap that much about politics. In large part, they don't care about politics. And so Democrats, they'll ballot harvest all the time. Hey, everybody bring me your ballot. And those people don't give a crap. If you're in a really poor part of town, oftentimes those people don't care about politics. Got bigger fish to fry, trying to avoid getting shot and everything else. So they just don't care about politics. It's a real self-licking ice cream cone. These big cities, Democrat politics snowball into more Democrat politics, which snowball into more Democrat politics, and it's never ending. And then what else happens is anybody red, anybody sane, they move out. They're gone. There's not Republicans in Manhattan, not many of them. They go to Long Island. They're gone. If you have to work in the city, you're gone. You pack it up and you leave. And the same thing happens in L.A. Same thing happens in San Diego. You're not going to stay in the city center with all that blue filth. You're going to find the reddest suburb you can find that's still a decent commute to work, and you're gone. So you don't even get to vote in it. It's a big old fat mess. Now let's talk about moving. Let's talk about tariffs, the coming trade war. Let me talk to you about history. You enjoy that when I do that, don't you? Well, Hillsdale will teach you about history. And just like me, they don't charge for it. How cool is that? I've always admired that about Hillsdale College. And last time I met with them, I told them that. That was before they were even partners with the show. I told them, I love that they've been handing out knowledge for free for as long as I've been involved in politics. Hillsdale's been sending out mailers, doing things for free. They want this critical wisdom in people's homes. So they don't charge for it. They're offering more than 40 free online courses. Long weekend, maybe knock out one class, something productive. Do you think your children would benefit from Understanding Capitalism? That's one of their free courses. Go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse. That's how you get it at no cost. hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And of course, we're going to dig into, well, someone has concerns about the tariff war stuff. We'll get into that in a moment. This guy says, hey, Jesse, I'm close to moving out of California and I want to go full deep red in my next home. There's plenty of states that have the Republican trifecta, but I wanted to see if there's a good way to check and see if the government is actually holding true or just phoning it in. This guy is, well, I will say he's from San Diego. So let me warn you right off the bat, buddy. Because I have buddies who have moved from San Diego. There is something I'm sure you appreciate, but maybe not enough, that you're going to have to give up. I understand San Diego has really, really, really fallen off since the dirty commies have filled it up with crime and homelessness. I get that. The gas lamp district, all that wonderful stuff. San Diego just isn't what it was when I used to enjoy it. But it's still perfect weather all 12 months of the year. And that doesn't exist anywhere else in the United States of America except for Southern California. It just does not. So you really, really, really need to prepare yourself for summers where you sweat a lot, for winters where you freeze, for you're going to move and you're going to discover this wild concept of four seasons, and not all of them are pleasant. So I'm just warning you that right off the bat. As far as states go, what's a good way? I'll tell you what's an underrated state right now that is starting to elect some seriously, seriously far-right people. Everybody knows about Florida. Everyone knows about Florida and Ron DeSantis and the amazing job he's done there. So I'm not going to tell you Florida. Missouri. Nobody thinks about Missouri. Missouri has some crazy, beautiful spots to it. Missouri is going hard, hard right. Missouri is worth a look. Arkansas is worth a look. Of course, Texas. Oklahoma is amazing. Oklahoma doesn't get near enough credit. Oklahoma is a sweet place. Nebraska. Now, moving from San Diego to Nebraska may be a little bit of a environmental shock. It is a touch flat, I will say, but Nebraska has it together. As far as governments go, if that's what you're asking me, though, you want to move to a red state that has, you know, red up and down. There's not a red state that doesn't need more help, more maintenance. Red state, look, Texas in particular, but I don't even mean to single out my own state. Texas, our state legislature, our Republicans are embarrassing here. Embarrassing. They're half Democrats here. Honestly, Wyoming, everyone knows my love for the Rocky Mountains and Wyoming and antelope hunting and all that stuff. I've been up there a million times. That's really where I grew up, in Montana, right up there by it. Wyoming is embarrassing with its Republicans. It sends, they're all Republicans. You know, there's not a registered Democrat in the state, I don't think. But the Republicans they send, they're half Democrats. They put an R by their name. What's the perfect trifecta? What's a good way to check? Let me go ahead and spoil it for you. There ain't a good one. Every single one of them need help. Every single red state needs help. I probably should have mentioned this, though. The Carolinas, I've brought this up before. If you've never spent any time in the Carolinas, I would recommend it. I love the Carolinas. Did you just sneer at the Carolinas, Chris? What is your problem? North Carolina? What's wrong with South Carolina? Oh, you don't like North Carolina. Dude, North Carolina is amazing. Amazing. One, I know there's a lot of Democrats. It's very much a purple state. I get that. But it's trending right. It's trending right. They need more Republicans there. Honestly, probably outside of Southern California, North Carolina may have the best weather in the country. The food is fantastic. There's beach if you're a beach guy. There's hills. There's North Carolina should be looked at. Don't discount North Carolina. Hey, Jesse, happy Friday. Not to be overly pessimistic here, but I just have a really bad feeling about the tariff war at this point. I was hopeful until recently. It seems President Xi has won this round, and by that, he's won for the long ride. I know his days are numbered, China isn't doing well, so on and so forth. Will the end of the 90 days be Donald Trump's... Will the end of 90 days be Donald Trump's second chance, or is that window permanently closed? Okay, so just to recap what he's talking about here. We are in a trade war with China. It's just nobody's firing shots yet. Meaning Donald Trump wants a reset on how global trade works, on where things are made. We'll focus on that part of it, where things are made. I get that and I agree. I want to make things here in America. I want blue-collar jobs here in America, manufacturing jobs here in America. So that's what Trump wants. But here's the problem with that. Have you ever been super out of shape and started working out? Hurts, doesn't it? Chris is saying yes. That's right, Chris. It hurts. It hurts. Your joints hurt. Your muscles hurt. It hurts. That's because your body has gotten used to not doing it, and now trying to make changes is going to be painful. You're going to wince getting on and off the toilet. Economically, the world, the entire world, has gotten used to making things in China. Businesses, manufacturing, factories, the world has gotten used to it. China's gotten used to it. America's gotten used to it. France has gotten used to it. That's where we're at. I'm running up against the break here. I'm going to get into more depth in this in just a moment. Before I do that, I know those joints hurt whether you're working out or not, and that's because you're not taking your relief factor. You do not have to wince getting out of bed every morning. You don't have to rub your hands or your elbow or your back. You don't have to do that thing with your neck where you're trying to turn your head because it hurts. Why don't you let Relief Factor help your body fight that inflammation? Relief Factor is drug-free, 100% drug-free. It is a supplement, and I swear the stuff is friggin' miraculous. I don't even know what they put in the stuff. It's miraculous. Unique formula, natural ingredients.
it'll make your pain go away. Not mask it for a day, couple hours, disappear, give you a quality of life back. You don't have to take my word for it. You can try it for 3 weeks. $19.95. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, The Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So this guy has a bad feeling about the coming trade war and stuff. So let's recap where we're at right now. The world, us, China, everybody, the world over a period of time, it's been a couple decades, more than a couple, over decades, the world has slowly, because it's a slow process, slowly but surely started to move its physical manufacturing to China. They did this for a couple different reasons. One, China wanted to start making things there, so China started focusing on that by incentivizing businesses to come there. Hey, come here, come here, come here. We don't have an EPA who's going to bother you. We're going to just start up your factory here. You can dump sludge into the water for all we give a crap. Make your things here. Make your things here. So it became financially beneficial. While China was making it financially beneficial, it's not just America. The other major countries, the other economic powers in the world, the UK, America, everything else, they started allowing more and more leftism to creep into their politics. The West in general, I know we just won an election, the West in general has only moved to the left. From a 30,000-foot view, if you're looking down on it, they've only moved left, 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 left. Well, the more you go towards communism, the less business-friendly it's going to be because the left believes in controlling businesses. You will do this. We'll regulate that. You need a permit for this. We'll tax that. So as Western civilization has gotten more hostile to business, China has gotten friendlier to business, and inevitably that has sucked all the business, all the manufacturing, I should say, into the waiting arms of China. That brings us where we are now. Donald Trump sees this as a huge issue, and he's correct. He sees it as a national security issue, and he's correct about that as well. So how do we get it back? It's the ultimate question. How do we get it back? Trump has believed in tariffs for as long as Donald Trump has spoken about public policy. This is not something, I've tried to explain this to people, this is not something Trump came up with yesterday, and you're not going to talk him out of it. Donald Trump was speaking about tariffs and protectionism a long time before he even ran for president or got involved in public office. He believes in that all the way. He's very much a protectionist. So now he views tariffs as a way to essentially force those businesses to come back home. Force them to come back home. In fact, let me do this. It's completely unprofessional. Sorry, I'm doing this on the fly here. He sent out this message this morning, as a matter of fact. Quote, this is a public message Donald Trump put out. I have long ago informed Tim Cook of Apple that I expect their iPhones will be sold in the United States of America, will be manufactured and built in the United States, not India or any place else.
If that is not the case, a tariff of at least 25% must be paid by Apple to the U.S. Thank you for your attention in this matter. Well, he actually said thank you for your attention in this matter, but I get it, Donald. I do. I misspell things all the time. It's no big deal. This is what he believes. If you're not going to bring your business back here, I'll essentially fine you, is what he's saying. I will fine you for not bringing your business back here. Now, you can love that or you can hate that. It doesn't matter. But the truth is that fine, whatever it is, it doesn't change what's happened over the decades. The manufacturing is there. And the manufacturing is there, well, because China wants it there and we ran them out. And those things haven't really changed. And you can argue that Donald Trump is deregulating the economy here, and he is. He's doing a very good job. Deregulating the economy. He's getting all this ridiculous regulation out of the way. However, if I, let's say I want to start a big steel factory. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do steel. Okay. All right. Well, Donald Trump and his policies are good for me. Good. I think I'll start a big steel factory in Ohio because Donald Trump and his policies are good for me. Now, let me ask you something. How long is it going to take me? I have an empty plot of land to get a steel factory up and running where that is. A year? 2 years? Let's just say a year. You don't have to be a construction expert. Let's say a year. Okay, good. Let's say I start now. Good. It is May 23rd. I'm going to start right now. So May 23rd of 2026, my steel factory is up and running and churning and burning. How much money have I invested? How much money, frankly, have I borrowed to get that steel factory up and running? I had to get, we'll make up a number. I had to get a $50 million loan from the bank to get that manufacturing up and running. So now I'm paying off a $50 million mortgage, getting my steel up and running. However, it's May 23rd, 2026, a year from now. That's 2 years away from an election. If Democrats win that election, they will immediately put back into place a bunch of policies that make my steel factory basically defunct. They'll put me out of business, and then I'm on the hook for a $50 million mortgage, and I can't pay it off because Democrats hate me. So whatever we do now, you always, if you're a businessman, you don't have to be involved in politics. If you're a businessman, you can be completely agnostic about politics. If you're a businessman, the prospect of Democrats taking power again is always looming over you. Always looming over you. You are one Democrat election away from getting smashed. And you can say all day long till you're blue in the face, they're unpopular right now. It looks like we're probably going to have a really great candidate. It's probably going to be J.D. Vance or someone like that. Let's say they have some idiot like Newsom or someone be the, oh, well, there's no way J.D. Vance is going to lose to Newsom. Oh, don't give me that. What happens 3 months before the election? We found out J.D. Vance has been cheating on his taxes for 5 years. No, I don't think J.D. Vance has done that. But that's the kind of stuff that happens in politics. Some huge scandal pops up right before the election, only it's a legitimate scandal. Boop, boop, boop. Gavin Newsom's president. My steel mill, gone. Gone. If we don't fundamentally change the Democrat Party, we cannot ever truly bring manufacturing back here in a lasting way. We can look, Donald Trump can cut these deals, and I'm glad he is. We cut a deal and they're going to build a factory here. We cut a deal and they're going to do this. We cut a deal. He's going to build this. That's great. That's wonderful. But all that changes like that the second the American people lose their minds again and vote for another communist. The communist is going to come in. He's going to regulate every single part of the whole thing, drive all these businesses out, and then we're screwed. Look at the Keystone Pipeline. Remember the conversation we had with Daniel Turner? That big Keystone Pipeline, all those jobs. Joe Biden comes in. I believe it was the first day. He stops it. Executive order stops the Keystone Pipeline. Do you have any idea how much money and time it took to get the permitting and everything done to get that pipeline started? We elect a Democrat. He destroys it. Now Donald Trump has already publicly said he wants to start it up again, but If you're the Keystone Pipeline guys, why would you bother? Again, why would I bother firing it up? I'm one Democrat away from getting all my money blown away again. You see the issue? Now, I guess I didn't ever actually get into the trade war portion of this, which we can let's dig into that. Before we dig into that, we are going into a Memorial Day weekend where we will honor the fallen, especially on Monday, Memorial Day. And if I may make a suggestion, if this time tugs at your heart, if you have a heart for the people who gave their lives for this country, it's a really good time to help their families out. I know Afghanistan's over. I know Iraq is over. But the pain of having lost your husband, your son, your daughter there is not over at all. Those families, they still think about it all the time, especially over the weekend. Tunnel to Towers helps them 365 days a year, not just on Memorial Day. Out there paying off their mortgages. Remember that Tunnel to Towers built them an entire village to live in Florida. I mean, just wonderful, wonderful. God bless things. $11 a month is all Tunnel to Towers has ever asked for. Sign up to give it automatically. You'll never know it's gone. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday, talking about tariffs and the coming trade war. And then we have all kinds of other questions we're going to get into here. Now, in fact, we may even talk about Abraham Lincoln next. Someone wanted to talk about him, but somebody's nervous about the trade war that's coming. Well, remember, we got a pause, a 90-day pause on the trade war while they try to work something out. But I, along with a lot of people I trust, are very pessimistic something will be worked out because of what we just talked about. The world has adjusted to things being made in China and bought in America. That's what the world has adjusted to. This is, you know, I've made this comparison before. When I was talking about national divorce, how I believe we should get a divorce as a country. We won't go into the details of that right now, but I've said it's like a married couple that doesn't have any common values at all. He wants to live in the suburbs and go to church on Sunday and raise a family. She wants to go tour with Metallica and do black tar heroin in Europe. Those two people are too far apart. There's no common values. They need to separate. So let's do that here when it comes to the trade war. China's entire economy, in fact, Xi Jinping's political power rests on them making things in China. Because if they stop, they already experienced this when Trump did fired the first shot in this little trade war. When those manufacturing facilities stop, Xi Jinping all of a sudden has 10, 20, 30, 40 million people angry, hungry, and out of work. That's how you get a revolution in your country. You don't survive. He has to make things there. He's built his entire life on it. Vice versa, Donald Trump is dead serious about making things here. Structurally, I don't see how that changes in 90 days. I don't. Now, I don't want to act like all is lost. It may not be. Both of these gentlemen have an interest in making a deal because if a trade war comes, and what? That's probably close to 60 days away now. If a trade war actually does come, everyone will feel it. And in fact, it's not hard to imagine a trade war turning into a real war of some kind somewhere. They usually do. There's an old, old saying, and I don't even know who said it, when goods stop crossing borders, armies will. It's very true. It's very true. When you get in a trade war with somebody, what you've done is you've created a hostile situation, and they don't have as much to lose as they did before. That's why Donald Trump loves to do deals. Deals keep the peace. They do.
When you go strike a deal with somebody and, hey, I'm benefiting economically and you're benefiting economically, hey, we don't want to, let's not fight about anything here. We're both making a lot of money. We're doing fine. Deals keep the peace. What if you don't have a deal? What if a deal is broken? Well, then you can end up in a really bad situation. Dear anti-commie coach, the subject of this one is civil war. I just heard your thoughts about Lincoln keeping the Union together and the resulting outcome of America having a huge influence on the world wars. Didn't you miss something? Old Abe was a staunch abolitionist. I think preservation of the Union was the pretext, but the ultimate goal was ending slavery. That's what I'm teaching my daughters anyway. Your thoughts? Says I can use his name. His name is Zach. Not really. With all due respect, you're not crazy because Lincoln was a staunch abolitionist to his credit. To his credit, he thought slavery was freaking abhorrent and wanted it stopped. And he deserves credit for thinking that because slavery is freaking abhorrent, owning another human being. That's gross. But that is not why Lincoln fought the Civil War. The Civil War was started to keep the Union together. Abraham Lincoln did not believe the South had the ability, had the authority under the law to break away and become their own country. He was dead wrong about that, by the way. Of course, the South had the authority to break away. The states would never have joined and become the United States if they didn't think they had the authority to break away at some point in time. So he was dead wrong. I mean, by the law, he was dead wrong about that, but that's why he fought it. He was so adamant about the Union staying together, he actually offered the South, hey, you can keep your slaves, just come back to the Union. Lincoln offered them that. He was an abolitionist. I don't want to act like he wasn't. I don't want to act like he wasn't serious about that. He was obviously dead serious about that. But Abraham Lincoln, he was willing to let all those slaves stay right on the plantation, getting abused as long as the South came back into the Union. Now, no one ever learns these facts because American schools are so dumbed down at this point, you're only allowed to learn North good, South bad. Ah! That's the extent of people's knowledge on the Civil War. But as I've told you a million times before, the Civil War was an incredibly complicated affair, a horrible affair with angels and demons on both sides of the equation. Now, people will take that whatever way they want to take that. I don't give a crap how you take it, but it was not some clean. We love clean. We love movies. That's the good guy. That's Captain America. Look at him. His teeth are perfect. He's handsome. He's fighting against Red Skull. Look at his skull. Look how ugly he is. He's a murderer. He kills people. That's the bad guy. That's the good guy. Good must fight against evil and win. We love that. But human beings, when it comes to human beings, that's very rarely the case. Very, very rarely the case. You have to go, you have to take your bad to extreme in order to make yourself, well, very clear, Hitler, right? You have to try to exterminate every Jew on the planet before people were all, okay, well, we probably found our bad guy here. This is most likely not the good guy in the story. Real life doesn't work that way oftentimes. It doesn't work that way. We want clean and easy. And that slavery's part of that conversation, it makes it easy for people. Well, they wanted slaves and they didn't, so those are the good guys and those are the bad guys. Completely not true. Completely not true. Very, very complicated affair. Let's move off that. Let's talk about the communists around Joe Biden. Islam versus communism. That's interesting. All that and so much more still to come on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show as we go into Memorial Day. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.